this passage from Acts of the Apostles, this experience with Philip being sent by the Holy Spirit to go talk to this eunuch guy, this Ethiopian guy who's traveling. It's jam-packed with nuggets for us to take out of it. For what it's worth, think about the struggles our church community, our Christian church community has been through throughout history with the question of, like, who is the church to tell me what to do? Why does the church have to tell me anything? Why can't I go right to God? You know, whether it's how to interpret scripture or go to confession instead of going right to God. Isn't it just scripture and me alone, you know? And what I love is, like, right here, before there was ever a chance for the church to say, well, let's use scripture and this idea of church authority so that we can manipulate people and have control over the world, or whatever the hoax might sound like, I don't know. Philip is being described as going up to this eunuch, and he says, do you understand what you are reading? And the question, the response comes, how can I, unless someone instructs me? It was presumed that scripture would need some sort of teaching authority to go along with it. That scripture alone would need to be explained. That the eunuch by himself didn't fully understand what he was reading and couldn't. How can I? Unless someone explains it to me. And sure enough, the apostle, the apostolic church, is given to us to come to a fuller understanding of the scriptures and all that God has revealed to us, guided by the Holy Spirit. There's a term we use to refer to that office, that teaching authority of the church, called the magisterium. The church has this authority given to it by God, by Christ, when he gave it to the apostles and they passed it on, to expound upon and explain the scriptures to us. This food for thought, like, that was there from the beginning, implied, and yes, okay, so in the 1600s, the church had to actually formally describe and explain and define these authorities, or, like, you know, in the centuries, you know, after that, when it came into question. But it was there from the beginning. And with that as well, Philip has, we don't know how long, but it's like an elevator speech moment, you know? He is traveling with the eunuch for a short amount of time, so he's going to go right to the essentials of the faith. You know, I'm explaining to you Isaiah, and I'm explaining, when he does this, he takes advantage to proclaim Jesus Christ as he explains scripture. So we imagine maybe a 5-minute or 10-minute or an hour journey, but, you know, not weeks and weeks to explain the fullness. And one of the essentials that obviously came out of that conversation, you don't see the eunuch saying, thanks so much, now I'm encouraged to be a nice person and be good and bye and I'll see you later. That wasn't the essential message of Christianity from the beginning. Whatever it was, it included, look, there's some water, can you baptize me? Because that was essential to their conversation. Among other things that Philip would have hit on, baptism was obviously important. The sacraments were obviously important to the faith and to salvation in Christ. They weren't like these things added later or rituals that were invented by the church in the Middle Ages or whatever. They were there from the beginning and they were essential from the beginning. Well, what if you're not baptized? Will you go to heaven? I don't know, but this is offering us that in the beginning the essentials included the sacraments. They weren't just added later. Gosh, we could say a lot more. But the authority of the church, baptism, and I want to use a big word. I want to explain a big word, because the second question the eunuch asks is, when he's quoting Isaiah, I beg you, about whom is the prophet Isaiah saying these things? About himself or about someone else? Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer, it is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will tell of his posterity? For his life is taken from the earth. Is Isaiah talking about himself or someone else? What's our answer? Any thoughts? As a Christian, in hindsight, we're like, oh no, obviously he's talking about Christ. But Isaiah never knew Christ. Isaiah never spoke about Christ. And maybe parts of Isaiah's life or someone else, it might have referred to partially, but it fully made sense in the light of Christ when applied to Christ. The Old Testament, what's the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament? These partial, like the letter to the Hebrews, in the beginning or in ages past, God spoke to us through many and varied, we could say, partial ways. But now, He's spoken to us through His Son. The New Testament is like the fullness and the light that gives the full meaning to the Old Testament. The Old Testament towards the New, I'm going to use this word and I hope I'm not losing you, but typology, this word typology. When you say Moses and the manna in the desert and Isaiah himself and his whatever his experiences, they are types, not meaning kinds. We have to get rid of the English, it's a type of food. No, it's a type, it's a figure of what is to come. And I want to share this word typology because sometimes we hear it in Catholic circles, we don't know what we're talking about. Isaiah is not just talking about Isaiah. Isaiah's message, or Moses, even the story of Moses, or the story of Joseph in Egypt, the story of manna in the desert, it's not just about itself only. It's also about someone and something else. So a type is a parallel story in the Old Testament, a parallel story, person, or event that foreshadows Christ and the New Testament, in which it is fulfilled and brings and receives deeper understanding and sheds light on. So trying to understand that, whether it's Isaiah, whether because even the gospel, like Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors had the manna in the desert. Let me now tell you what that was about. That was a type of, that was a figure of, that was a foretelling and foreshadowing of, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. So he's giving it a fuller understanding. It was given as a hint, as a preparation towards himself. Even though it took, 2,000 years later that Jesus came after Moses? I don't know, a long time. Leprosy, all the Old Testament, the way the Old Testament treats leprosy, adultery, you could understand that if you understand sin and the need to die to sin, you might better understand the rules about some of the things in the Old Testament. Why the leper was, leprosy had to be exiled or super cleansed, or why adultery was stoned or like amputating the sin. I don't know, just a lot we could say, but it's important to understand like the Old Testament offers so many types and figures that allow us to better grasp what was to come. And when it finally came in Christ and the teachings of the church and baptism and all that you read from St. Paul about dying to the old and being reborn and through water and the Spirit, it makes sense and is better understood because of the Old Testament. Both go together. In typology, of this idea of the old being figures of the new, that are in which they are fulfilled, helps us a lot to come to a full and greater understanding. And with the teaching authority of the church to guide us correctly in that, to understand what is the essence of our faith that was passed on to us. What is it that God has given us? And can we come to a fullness of understanding through it? So that was a lot. I hope it was helpful. If it wasn't, just take that one of those nuggets and run with it. And if none of them were helpful, we'll just pray and read again. God bless you. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us, because we need help to understand these things.